T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the Edmore Sawgrass Cadillac Studios, Ed Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
All right, Zach, hey, man, we're just 2 days away. Are you done doing that smell in the
Not
grass?
Not until Thursday morning. Skin? Nope. Did it with Omar when he was here the other day also.
All right. Well, Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel joins us here this morning. Omar, how you doing?
I'm excited, Joe. How are you?
We're doing good. I think we're all excited. Get it going. And I got to ask you, as a writer that covers every play during practice and is out there to see the good and the bad on the camp watch starting Thursday and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I'm just curious what you're going to be watching up close here in the first few days.
Well, it all starts for me with the offense. I believe that the Dolphins, when's the last time the Dolphins had an offense that were ranked in the top 16? I believe it would be the Chad Pennington year. Every year they've always struggled in that capacity. And right now, I don't see any weakness in their offense except for offensive line depth. So, you know, you've got three talented receivers, arguably one of the best trios in the NFL. You've got a Pro Bowl back, a power back that, you know, if you had given that back to Dan Marino, he probably would have taken the team to the Super Bowl. You've got a seam threat tight end in Julius Thomas and an inline blocker in Anthony Fasano. There are no weaknesses to your weaponry. It's about that quarterback taking that next jump and becoming an upper echelon quarterback. But God knows it's time.
I want to ask you about the backup to Mike Pouncey, who could be a big, big player in this thing as we're waiting to see what's going to happen with Pounce. Is Anthony Steen definitely a solid center that you can count on? Have you seen enough?
I don't know if it's Steen. I mean, there's Craig Urbick, who finished the season as a starting center. There's a young guy from UCLA. The name escapes me right now. I should be better than this. Jake Brendel, who this is his first camp with the Dolphins. He's a veteran center more than Urbick and Steen. So it's any man's game in terms of who backs up Mike Pouncey. Right now I've got to go with the veteran in Craig Urbick because he's got 60-plus starts under his belt, not at center, but he's a veteran starter.
Will the Jarvis Landry contract issue bleed into camp where we're talking about it every single day, or do you think that something's going to come to a head soon?
You're not going to talk about it every single day because Jarvis will not allow you to talk about it every single day. It will not be something that's addressed probably before the week of the regular season, in my opinion. I don't see them coming to terms on a deal until maybe days before the exhibition season. This is just how things work, where teams wait till the last minute to make a good offer. Jarvis is not going to accept just any offer. You know that. You know who he is. You know how he's built. Jarvis is willing to bet on himself. And trust me, he's not scared about going into 2017, getting paid $900,000, and he doesn't fear the franchise tag. And truth be told, the Dolphins would struggle financially if they gave the franchise tag. So, you know, it benefits everybody to get a deal done. However, Jarvis is not going to take anything less than what he believes he deserves.
Do they have a third defensive tackle? You think when it's all said and done, or they go out and they find a veteran guy to come in here, whether it's Roy Miller, if he doesn't sign with Buffalo, or somebody else?
You know, that's a great question, Joe. They are banking and wagering and betting on a lot of the young players, which makes me very uncomfortable. I certainly would address that position. The Dolphins are going to hold some workouts probably today or tomorrow of veteran players. Cornerback is what I heard they're looking for. I don't know why, considering they've got so much depth at cornerback, but it doesn't surprise me. You can never trust an organization in terms of feeling comfortable. And truth be told, cornerback is one of those positions where them and receivers, they run so much during training camp, they suffer injuries. So you can never truly have enough.
Right.
Defensive tackle, they feel like one of these young players will blossom and develop. They have no idea who it is. They've got so many young players. They don't want to take the snaps from them. Defensive tackle is a position I guarantee you they're not going to be finished addressing until the regular season opens up. It wouldn't surprise me if they claim some guys. It wouldn't surprise me if they add some veterans. They know that they have issues at defensive tackle and at backup tackle, offensive tackle. So don't be surprised if they add some guys. Yeah, remember last year when we started camp, they took a look at what they had on their roster, and then they started signing veterans, Chris Culliver. They will do that again. But first, they want to take a look-see of what's there and what's available. Remember, we haven't seen any of those defensive tackles with pads on yet, and maybe one of these rookies does surprise us.
What about Mike Pouncey? When will they find out medically? When is he expected to meet with a specialist so they'll have more of an update on him?
Ooh, good question, Joe. I wouldn't be surprised if Mike Pouncey began the year on the PUP. I know he's not going to be practicing. Mike's birthday was yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if he's meeting with the specialist today or tomorrow. Mike believes he's ready to practice. The team is more hesitant. They know that they want him for games. So I wouldn't expect him to participate in training camp for at least the first 3 weeks.
Are we already nervous, or when do we start getting nervous with Pouncey?
We're already nervous, but I'm a confident nervous because I've always known that Pouncey's situation was Pouncey rushing himself back onto the field before he was ready, trying to convince himself he was ready, trying to convince the coaches he was ready, pushing his rehab just so that he can be out there with his team. This time you're preventing Pouncey from himself. This time you're saying, no, just need you for the games. Calm down, chill out, rest, let the hip heal. The hips have been healing since, December?
Yep.
So we're now in July. Yes, he's working out, but he's not playing football. And I like the strategy. I like the approach. I am one of those people who truly believes that when you have a healthy Mike Pouncey, you have an elite offensive line. And the Unicorns are proof of that. He was the core key ingredient in the Unicorns. Hopefully you get back to that status and that level where you could be dominant. The record with Mike Pouncey, and I'm going to do that work today. The record with Mike Pouncey has to be impressive. I will do the numbers today and tell you, but Mike Pouncey, if he's part of the Unicorns, which had a 10-1 record together, you better bet that Mike Pouncey is a difference maker on your team.
Omar, what about the 4 and 5 wide receivers? Are those jobs wide open, and who do you like to end up getting them?
I think they are wide open. I think the job, it starts with the draft picks, the guys you invested in. That's how teams usually go. So the Carew, the Jakeem Grant, the Isaiah Ford, those are the front runners. I like Drew Morgan in terms of what I saw. I think I saw a lot of Chris Hogan in him. Not polished, but it give him some opportunity to polish, get his skills polished, he will be good. I don't think he – right now I wouldn't play him in the preseason. I'd sandbag this kid and put him on my practice squad. But the draft picks, Jakeem Grant has to prove that he can catch. The number one –
catch the punts. Catch the punts.
No, catch the football.
Catch the football in general. Okay.
Catch the football. He can't catch. And it's he has to prove that his hands are reliable. You saw the drop punts. Every day in practice, I see the drop passes. And it's an issue. And if he can prove that he can catch, because he's got so much speed and so much upside and so much talent, then he should lock down a 53-man spot just as a primary returner. But you got to do your number one job, which is to be a receiver and catch the football, and that has been an issue in his rookie season. Hopefully it's an issue that he's worked on fixing.
How far is Asiata behind the other guards? Is just as far as, I guess that was a big one. Everybody was saying, man, they were a little surprised and thought he'd have been a little more physical at the point of attack, and he really struggled against these guys.
Well, you know, there's a big transition between college and the NFL. And remember pads having come on. Maybe he's a different player when the pads come on, but he wasn't good during OTAs and training camp. And that was a big surprise to me. That was a big issue. But keep in mind, he's a run-blocking offensive lineman. You're not going to see that in OTAs. You're not going to see that without pads. So maybe he's a difference maker when the pads come on and he's opening up running lanes. And if that's the case, then he'll quickly leapfrog the other guys. The technical stuff can be taught. But yeah, there was a disconnect between what the expectation was and what he delivered.
What are we expecting to see from Lawrence Timmons? For years, we've been worried about a guy in the middle, a monster in the middle. We got our guy, but he's a little aged, you know, an aged veteran. But what can we expect to see from Lawrence?
That's probably one of the bigger questions that I have going into camp. I don't think he's in the greatest shape, and I know he's aged. It's his process, so I trust his process. I mean, the guy's giving you 98 tackles and hasn't missed a game in seven seasons. So the durability is going to help the Dolphins. The physicality is going to help the Dolphins in terms of the instinct of sniffing out the run. My concern is, can he cover still? Because the Dolphins have a vision of using him and Kiko Alonso as the outside linebackers and the nickel guys and having Raekwon McMillan come on the field in first and second downs as the inside linebacker to stop the run. The question is, will Lawrence be targeted and attacked in pass coverage? And I believe we won't know that. We won't know if he's a liability for sure until the Dolphins face the Patriots, because that's when they look at your the Patriots take a highlighter out and they highlight every single weakness that you have as a team, and then they expose it to everybody else. So we'll see soon if he can cover, and that's my biggest concern. He was a little heavy during training camp. Maybe he's trimmed a little fat during the regular season, or maybe he's just built like that.
Omar, Koemisi didn't pass physical. Looks like he's going to start on the PUP. That's not good for him. I mean, he needed to be back. What's going to happen there?
That's not a surprise to anybody. Koemisi suffered what was believed as a serious neck injury. It surprised me when they restructured his contract instead of waiving him, but to me, that's an indicator that this is a classy organization, because you broke him, and you broke him. The NFL generally doesn't give two craps about the players that are injured, that they hurt. Look at what the Dolphins did for Issa Abdul-Qaddous. But Koemisi's body of work here is a lot more substantial than what Issa Abdul-Qaddous has done. And I commend the Dolphins for standing by Koemisi, for trying to help him heal, trying to get him right. I think starting him on the year on the PUP is a good idea. Maybe by midseason, maybe by week 8, he'll be healthy enough to play. But it shows me that.
Boy, that neck. Boy, that neck thing, yeah. Man. Jeez.
No, I definitely wouldn't test it or trust it or play with it. But he's going to have to rehab somewhere. He's going to have to try to get it right somewhere. And I commend the Dolphins for being that team that stands by him, because most teams would have been like, all right, it was good. It was good knowing you, Peace, Deuce, we out. And they would have just waived him. And the Dolphins didn't waive him, which was a surprise to me. They restructured his contract, gave him basically a million minimum deal. And they're hoping that he can come back and play football. And I think if he does, you're a better team for it.
Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel at Omar Kelly on Twitter. Camp coverage starts on Thursday. That means Omar will be inundating you with.
Does Omar do that who's hot and who's not thing?
Yeah, he'll have that on the Twitter.
Are
you
on the who's hot, who's not?
I do top three performers every day. It's a very popular thing. People are, at the end of the day, they're like, well, who's the top performer? And then I add it up at the end of the season and tell you who's the top performer for all of training camp. But
there it is.
I do have rules, though. You know, I do have rules. Interceptions get on the list, and quarterbacks have to score two touchdowns to get on the list.
Jakeem Grant's going to be on your watch every day.
Yes.
Huh? You're going to be watching Jakeem Grant like a – he'll be under the microscope with you.
I only pay so much attention to Shakeem Grant because they're the unit that works the closest to us. So I try not to pick on a guy, but when you're watching receivers and then you see so many drops, it's hard not to pay attention to it. But my watch list begins with Devontae Parker, Xavier Howard, Lawrence Timmons, Jordan Phillips, and Laramie Tunsil. That's my watch list right there.
I like it.
Omar, good stuff, man. Thanks for coming on, spending some extra time with
us. See you Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be out there Thursday. We'll be out there sweating with you, Omar.
That's right.
If they bring the chefs out, stay in place.
Yeah, that's it. Omar Kelly will be joining us because the chefs are here. Of course,
oh no, they're bringing food up. That's part of the deal. First thing in the morning is Jason Jenkins going to bring Jason Jenkins.
Me and Omar already hit Jason Jenkins up the other day.
He'll do a little early meaty ass kissing.
Yep,
and then we get going from there. So we're good, Omar.
All over.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.